In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As Father Tom alluded to last week, we are in the course of three homilies which take a look at the Sermon on the Mount, which the Church presents to us over these 3 weeks. Father Tom spoke about the kind of goal we ought to have in mind as Christians. This week I'll offer some thoughts on the kind of attitude that the Sermon on the Mount inculcates. And finally, next week, we'll speak about the practical implementations of our Savior's words from the Sermon on the Mount. This is all intended to help get us ready for the parish mission, which will be starting on March 15th. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. The difference between the Old Covenant and the new law, the law given to us by Jesus Christ, is that the Old Covenant was a series of commandments which have got to be obeyed. But the new law, the Sermon on the Mount, instills in the Christian's heart a spirit of active charity which ought to make commandments unnecessary for us. The old law said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. When it said that, it did not command you to take revenge on your enemies. That would be absurd. Rather, it laid down the principle that if you took revenge on your enemies, you had to observe a strict law of retaliation. You were to exact a certain level of vengeance and no more. How much, you ask? The precise equivalent of the wrong that was done to you. If a man struck you on the right cheek, you could strike him on the right cheek, but not on both. If he took away your coat, you could take away his coat, but not his cloak, which was more valuable. If a man forced you to go a mile with him as his guide or to carry his baggage, you might force him to go a mile with you, but not 2 miles. You were to charge no interest, that's the point, when you exacted your retaliation. So observe then that our Lord turns this principle inside out. Instead of hitting back his assailant on both cheeks, the Christian will want to be hit on both cheeks. Instead of wanting to get a cloak in exchange for a coat, he will want to lose coat and his cloak as well. Instead of wanting to drag a man for 2 miles in his own direction as compensation for being dragged 1 mile, he will want to go 3 miles in the other man's direction altogether. The natural man wants to charge interest in the wrong that's been done to him, but the Christian's immediate thought is to throw in a bonus. That is our Lord's teaching about retaliation. So what does this all mean? It means that the Christian who has really absorbed the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount will not be thinking always of how I can get something or how I can keep the things I have, but how can I give something away? Now, our Lord himself lives out these three instances of what a Christian is meant to do when he suffers injustice. When he is struck on the cheek, when his clothes are taken away, and when oppressors, those Roman soldiers, force him to go on a journey. Does it ever occur to us that in his passion and death, Jesus gives us a model of patience which we ought to imitate in those situations? He was struck on the cheek in the judgment chamber of the high priest, and all he said was, "If I have spoken evil, point it out. But if I am innocent, why do you hit me?" He was forced by the soldiers to tread the long road to Calvary, carrying his own cross. He was stripped of his own garments, the soldiers tearing some of them into portions and throwing dice for his coat, which was perhaps the work of our Blessed Lady for her son. And all he says is, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He suffered because he wills it. And Christians, we suffer because we want to be identified with our Master, who chose to suffer out of love for us. And so it's a mistake to get bogged down too much in the literal imagery of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, for example, "Give to him that asks, and do not turn away from those who would borrow from you." Well, we all know that often the most deserving person of our charity is the one who doesn't ask. But sometimes the person who is always asking, the habitual borrower, has to be cut off for their own good. But that is not the point. The point is that a real Christian has an entirely new attitude towards his possessions. Now, our belongings are of various kinds. There is our dignity. Most of us are fond of having a good reputation. We would not like being hit in the face. There are our material possessions, some of which we don't mind parting with, but we do like to have something that we can call definitely our own, the clothes we wear, for example. And then there is our time, our leisure, our time to ourselves. Now, it is true that the love of Christ, if it is really in us, will kill all these other loves. The love of Christ, if it really takes hold of our heart, brings with it a spirit of detachment, which makes us indifferent to the loss of these things, as if we had signed them all away to start a fresh life. Now, my friends, I'm afraid this might not sound like a very good description of us all, myself included. But it is the model after which we ought to be striving, even in our very faltering and inferior way. So let us remember that sometimes when our human nature is still strong in our hearts and makes us quick to resent an injustice, when an insult from a stranger humiliates us in public, let's think of our Lord's cheek stinging beneath the blow of that soldier. When we suffer a temporal loss because of someone's injustice, let us think of our Lord praying for his persecutors as they threw dice for his clothes. When a tough boss or an inconsiderate friend makes unreasonable demands on our time and energy, let us think of the Lord on the road to Calvary, carrying the instrument of his own death. And if we do this, I think we will become better Christians. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.